Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Oh, my goodness, Bev. It seems like it's been like forever since we've done.
Well, it has.
Yeah, it really has. I am just so excited about today's guest. I'm looking forward to it. When I first spoke to this one young lady, I thought, wow, we've got to get her on Meet the People of MCB. So I'm glad that we have actually have both her and her mother with us today. So I'm really looking forward to today's interview. How about you, Bev?
Oh, me too. And I'm glad to get back together again and doing these interviews. It's a great way to get to know our members of Missouri Council.
Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we did decide to take a little bit of time off, but as we said at the onset, it just does seem like it's been like forever, but we are back and better than ever, and we're going to start doing these interviews once again. So thanks so much for listening to today's program, and it is my distinguished honor and pleasure to introduce at this time both Lynn and Carrie Bennett. Welcome, ladies, to Meet the People of MCB.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, Carrie, we're going to begin with you and just share with us a little bit about your vision loss.
I was born 4 months premature, and I weighed 1 pound, 4 ounces when I was born. And I was born with retinopathy of prematurity.
Okay. All right. And so now are you totally blind? Do you have any visual acuity at all?
I am totally blind.
Oh, okay. Now, I think you told me when I spoke to you the other day that you actually wear prosthetics.
Yes, in both eyes.
Okay. Very good. Very good. All right. So thank you. And also, Carrie, share with us a little bit. I know we have your mother on with us today. So share with us a little bit about your family. You have siblings.
I am an only child.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So you got other family members around the area, cousins?
Aunts, uncles, cousins around. Some around the area and some live in other states.
Oh, okay. And now you and your mom are located. Are you actually in Bolivar or where are you guys located?
We are in Bolivar.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. And originally, let's back up a little bit because originally, and Lynn, I'm going to turn to you. You had mentioned before we started the recording that you actually had a time there in Springfield. So share with us a little bit about how it was when you first realized that Carrie was visually impaired, what that experience was like for you as a mother.
Well, actually, she was in the hospital. She lacked 4 days of being there 4 months. And any baby that has been in intensive care that long, they bring in a ophthalmologist to do the special eye exam. The neonatal doctor that was over there that night, when the nurses said that Carrie was scheduled to leave but had not had her eye exam, he was just shocked. He said, "Surely we've done that. Everything's fine. She's perfect." And then when Dr. Shelton came in and told them that, they said that Dr. Vance actually sat there that night and cried because he didn't know for sure how he was going to tell me. Because he just knew there was nothing wrong. Mm. And when I came in the next morning, they did tell me. And, you know, it's kind of a shock because I'd never been around a blind person before. But they, you know, reassured you, just go home, decorate the room just like you would for any baby, and just keep going.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
that's basically what I did.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
We did live right outside of Bolivar at that time. Carrie, when she got, the night before she got out of the hospital, actually, Phyllis Lovett and her husband, and I can't think of his name right now.
Mark.
He came to the hospital because they had called them. She was the director of the visually impaired preschool. And, of course, Carrie was not 5 pounds yet. She was still a very tiny baby. And they came over to see if I would enroll her in the preschool. You know, and I'm just sitting there, what are you going to do with a baby this small?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just kind of brushed it off, and I didn't do anything at that time. And it was a year later, actually, before I went and to have her kind of tested and went and talked with the visually impaired preschool and took her over there. And at that time, Marcia Block was a teacher over there, and she just expected me to bring in a baby that laid there and didn't do anything. And Carrie was sitting up and, you know, moving around and everything. And they were really shocked that I got her to do that much without knowing what I was doing. But I found out that, you know, they did a lot with babies. But I didn't realize that at the time. And we lived in Bolivar and drove back and forth. And Phyllis did get us involved with the Missouri Council of the Blind at that time. And we went to a few meetings. I'm not sure that we got just very involved in it or anything like that. But we did get to meet some of the people and do things. And then we just got away from it as different jobs that I took on progressed and everything. And we moved out on a farm to take care of my mother until she passed away. And Carrie got quite a bit of experience helping with her grandmother. And it was after she graduated from high school that we moved into Springfield and lived there for a while before we moved down in Seymour. And then we've lived here in Bolivar about a year and a half.
Okay.
And as soon as we moved up here, the lady that played at our church, played piano, was involved. Her husband was in the Missouri Council for the Blind, and they invited us to come to the meetings, and we've been going ever since.
Oh, very
good. I don't go all the time because I do, I work, but if I don't go, Carrie does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So you mentioned that you really hadn't been exposed to individuals that were blind, visually impaired. So where did you go to get resources, or did you just kind of let your motherly instincts take over raising Carrie as a blind child?
Well, the first couple of years, probably just by motherly instincts. And then we did go to the visually impaired preschool, sent us to different places to get some resources. We went to Hadley School for the Blind. I took some courses from them and learned quite a bit. And then the teachers that they had at the preschool was very, very knowledgeable, and she worked with you one-on-one and would give you different ideas of what to do and different things like that. But I tried to just treat Carrie like she was just an ordinary girl.
Yeah, that's excellent.
And my mother actually took her to a UMW, which is the United Methodist Church Women's Group, one day at a lady's house in Springfield. And they had been there for quite a while, and Carrie had asked for a drink. And Mom went and got a drink, and then she took the glass and kind of touched her hand. And the lady said, "Why are you doing that?" And Mom went there, "Well, she doesn't see it, so I'm showing her where the glass is." And the lady was just amazed. Said, "That child can't be blind."
Oh, okay. So, Carrie, do you recall the first time that, well, let me ask you this first. So did you attend a school for the blind, or did you attend public school?
I attended public school.
Okay. And do you recall the first time that you began wearing prosthetics?
I was three.
Oh, wow. 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 Yeah.
She was one of the optometrist here in Springfield, sent us down to Memphis. Dr. Charles, he was one of the few doctors that would work on the retinopathy of prematurity for babies. And at that time, he hadn't had that many babies that small that had survived. So it was kind of an experiment on how much surgery you did. So he did several surgeries on her, and have actually she'd been going down there twice when she got glaucoma, and she had to have glaucoma surgery in one eye, and then about 4 months later had it in the other eye. And then he had done some other surgeries trying to attach her retinas, and he also tried to do a cornea transplant, and he did that in both eyes, hoping that they, he said at that time he wasn't hoping that they would give her sight, but he was hoping that they would make her eyes grow like they should. But she probably had, in the 2.5 years, had about 10 surgeries on her eyes.
Wow.
And due to all the surgeries and everything, the scar tissue and everything, her eyes quit growing. And she actually still has her eyes. They just quit growing. So they put the prosthetic shells in there to fill up the space so that her face would go ahead and grow like it was supposed to.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Bev here in just a quick second, because she really gets upset at me because if I don't give her due in enough time. So
I'll let him know.
Yeah, she'll let me know. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So Lynn, as Carrie stated, that she attended public school. So where did she go to get instruction on blindness skills? Did you go to rehabilitation services for the blind? You mentioned Phyllis Lovett. So where did she actually go to begin to maybe learn some of the blindness skills to be independent and to learn Braille and those kind of things?
Well, Springfield had a vision teacher that taught Braille, and she was very, very good with Braille. She did not like the canes to be used, and so she really taught the kids not to use their canes, which was a bad situation. At that time, the visually impaired preschool kind of changed its focus because the government changed that early childhood had to take in all handicapped children and work with them, and so they went to the visually impaired children's services, and they got a teacher there that was very good in mobility and different things like that. And then she did also have the rehab services for the blind come out with work with her some on different things at the house, and then on her cane skills. And that's where she picked up her cane, you know, her cane skills and everything from that.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Well, Bev, I'm going to push it over to you.
All right. Yes, I had a chance to talk to Carrie a little bit, and I am so impressed with her so far. And now I'm really impressed with Mom. And
I'm just an ordinary mom.
Oh, no, you know, you've used that word ordinary. No, I could tell you both are special. I can't wait to get to know you and meet you at the convention, I hope. Will you be there too, Lynn?
Yes, I'm actually got appointed to go as her driver.
Oh, good. Good, good. Well, I'm going to hunt you down.
I appointed her. I told her she had to come, so.
Well, actually, Carrie, you're one of our first timers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you got one of our first timer awards. Okay, very good. Go ahead, Bev.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, no, that's okay. We work together, Chip. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but it's just extraordinary, you know, all the situations that you've had to be there in an area where you had an ophthalmologist that knew what to do and all the surgeries. Oh my goodness. When I lost my sight, well, I first had a rare skin disease, Stevens-Johnson syndrome, when I was 12 years old, but we were in a small town. So the doctors weren't around and available, but I'm so glad that you had that. And that you got to meet Phyllis. Love it. I'm sure she was a big help too. I remember getting to know Phyllis. Now, the lady at church that played the organ, you said her husband was visually impaired?
Larry Graves?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to meet them both, Larry and his wife, at Power Up this past year, and we're so saddened to hear of Larry's passing. But, yeah, that's great.
Oh, yes.
God puts people in our paths when he knows we need them.
That's right.
Yeah. So, okay.
I have one quick story about school.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Carrie wanted to play in the band and everything, and she was very adamant. She did work at it. She tried a couple of different instruments before Mom finally put her foot down and said, I play the saxophone. If you want to play an instrument, that's what you'll play because I can help you. And so in a small school, the band is also... the orchestra band is also the marching band. And we had a new band instructor that came out. And he said, well, I would like to include her in marching, but I've got to figure out how to do this. And we talked about several different things. And they finally did it. And she marched all the years that she was in high school.
Great,
they took
great.
A PVC pipe and made it the length of like three marchers and put three different belts on it. Carrie walked with the middle belt around her, and then they had somebody on both ends of it with belts on, and she went, and she marched just by the pressure of that PVC pipe in her back.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That is great. I tell you what, I'm going to address this to you, Lynn, and Carrie, just hearing her voice. She's got a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
And do you sing, too, Carrie?
She loves to sing.
I love to sing.
She sings at our church quite often.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And
actually,
right now, she's helping lead the singing at our church.
Really?
Yeah.
Lynn, you've got to be so proud of her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, I am.
Well, I tell you, I was in the choir at my Methodist church, too, for a while. And, trying to memorize the words and the music and everything, and all depend on who I was sitting by. And one lady out in the congregation said, you know, we don't have to pay for all that music. They just need to memorize it like Bev does. Do you not know I'm kind of dependent on them?
At the concerts and everything, we'd have somebody read the music to Carrie just real softly, you know, tell her what notes they was. And one of the band directors one night, and Carrie did not have all the music memorized, said that she wasn't going to have that reader. And I went up to him and I said, well, if she doesn't have a reader, none of your other students are going to have their music either.
Mm-hmm.
Either she gets her reader or you take the music away from everybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he went and asked somebody, he said, do you think her... because I told him I'd go to Jeff City the next morning. It wouldn't bother me a bit to let him know that she wasn't being treated equally. And he went and asked one of the vision teachers if she really thought I would do it. She goes, well, I wouldn't push it. So Carrie had a reader that night.
Good.
That's great. We have to advocate. And, you know, a lot of times I see that with children who are blind, it depends on the parents too, you know, how they are. And, gosh, you've done great, Lynn. And Carrie, you're going to be such an inspiration to others too. You know, Chip, I just thought of a new committee. We could put Carrie in charge of a choir. The blind choir group. We're going to work on that.
Yeah. That would be great.
That would be fun. I would love to. I would love to. That would be fun. Mm-hmm.
That would be fun. Okay. I've got things going in my mind here. But back to Carrie, what is it you love to do besides your music talent? Do you get out in the yard, garden? Do you like to play in the dirt?
I love to play. We have two little dogs here at the house. Their names are Bella and Rose. And I love to go outside and play with them and listen to them bark at each other and fight and wrestle. And Rose, our little Sheltie, we have two cats in the house as well. Uh-huh. And Rose and one of our cats, before we got the puppy, used to wrestle with each other. So I enjoyed hearing them banter and play. And now the puppy tries to play with the cat, and the cat don't like it. So they both gang up on him.
I'm getting used to it better.
And do you throw toys for them? Do they bring it back to you?
No, I throw them, but they don't bring them back.
Mm-hmm. They teach her to play fetch.
Mm-hmm. They teach her.
I play fetch.
Okay.
You have to adapt to them.
They'll run and grab it, and they'll take off running, and she has to catch them to get it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I was at my daughter's over the weekend, and she's got two lab shepherd mix, and they had their toy, and they would bring it to me, but I couldn't tell where their mouth was, and I didn't want to get it too close to the mouth and trying to find it. Finally, after a while, they started shoving the toy at me in my hand. Like, it's right here. It's right here. They're a lot of fun, aren't they? But no seeing eye dog, huh?
I had one for a while, and it was a learning experience. It was kind of good and bad, because the dog she had was a very, very, very good dog, very knowledgeable, it knew its commands and everything, but she was a strong-willed dog, and she did sometimes what she wanted to do, not what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But I did work with her for several years until she got a irritation on her feet, and she had open sores where she couldn't go out in public and work anymore. So they ended up retiring her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I cried.
Mm-hmm.
And
you?
I cried.
Oh,
I did.
Mm-hmm. It does. That's what's hard, you know, is when you lose them, no matter if they're a pet or a working companion, you know, oh gosh, that breaks my heart. So, okay, any other hobbies?
I painted some when I was younger. I painted a couple pictures.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
With
mm-hmm.
one of the special ed teachers, I painted a couple pictures, and then I did a sculpture.
Cool.
I like to paint. I like to learn new hobbies and stuff to keep myself busy.
That's pretty impressive.
Okay, what is there, isn't it? I bet Mom had those paintings hanging up on the wall, too.
They're in the living room.
Actually,
a copy of one of the pictures hangs at Schultz and Dooley's in Springfield. It was a gentleman that did fundraisers for Special Olympics when Carrie was doing Special Olympics. And Carrie gave him a copy of the picture, and he hung it up. And it hangs on, it was hanging up back against his register was against the wall back there. And at the time, somebody offered to buy it from him, and he told them they didn't have enough money to buy that.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Awesome.
Isn't this great, Chip?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to turn it over to you, Chip.
All righty. So, Carrie, go back and, share with us a little bit about your work history. What kind of things have you done?
I worked at two of the most wonderful places that anybody could ever work at. I worked at the Sheltered Workshop in Springfield, Missouri. I worked there for about 6 years. And then when we moved to Seymour, I went and worked at the workshop in Marshfield, Missouri. And I worked there for about 9 years, and I loved it.
And what kind of things did you do there?
I did Easter eggs, and they would let me. I was too kind of fast at them. Mm-hmm. They didn't let me very often. In Marshfield, I got to do a product called Dead Down Wind, which is deer hunting.
Oh, wow.
I got to package that in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I learned in Marshfield how to use a tape gun and tape little bitty boxes and
mm-hmm.
amaze my supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you can't do that. You can't see it. You can't do that. And I put it wrong and did it.
Yeah.
I love this girl.
Well, when she went to leave the Marshfield workshop, because we were moving and everything, one of the head guys there, she challenged him to do a box of the eggs blindfolded. And he learned how hard that was.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, 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 that's right.
And one day he was sitting there, and they turned off the electricity. And everybody was working on their trays, and he goes, okay, everybody stop working on their trays. And I said, what about me, Winfred? He goes, no, you keep going, you're dark. You can't see it. I said, okay, well, all right. And then he goes, finish the tray, you're on. I'm like, okay. And then before I left, I said, Winfred, would you please do me one favor? You do a tray blindfolded, and he about chickened out.
Yeah.
And I said, no, you promised me you would do it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he did it.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Carrie.
When we lived on the farm, she also enjoyed working with some of the different animals.
Uh huh. Mm, okay.
What kind of animals? I got to ask.
Well, she rode horses.
Oh.
Yes.
We had
me
goats.
Me too, Carrie. Uh-huh.
At the end, we raised some mini horses, and I think she really, really enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And oh, I did
of course,
enjoy
we had chickens,
them.
But she wasn't real crazy about my chickens.
No, I didn't like those things. I'm like, these things are yours, not mine. Horses are mine. Chickens are yours.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm.
I also showed goats in 4-H.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
okay, yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I did that when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Carrie, tell us how it was for you as a blind child growing up, and especially in public school. Was it easy to make friends, or was it difficult making friends? Did you have a lot of friends?
I had a lot of friends.
And how
I had
were they?
A lot of friends that were.
Carrie has never met a stranger.
Uh-huh. All right.
Which is very helpful to her on making friends.
Yeah, yeah. And I can
her
tell that
very
about
quiet
her.
Around people and takes uh-huh. a little while for me to warm up to somebody.
Yeah.
But Carrie's never met a stranger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can tell that about her. Yeah, yeah.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're good, yeah. So, now, did you go to college anywhere?
No.
Oh, okay, all right. So, how was it for those friends that you were able to easily make, quickly make, how were they able to adapt or accept you being different from them, being sighted compared to your being visually impaired? Were they pretty acceptable to that?
Well, she was still doing sports and Special Olympics, and some of them would go up on the, when they'd have the teams that were non-handicapped and handicapped teams would go up and play on some of the different Special Olympic sports with
okay.
her.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Well, good, good. So, Lynn, was it through Phyllis Lovett that you got involved with MCB?
When we lived in Springfield, yes.
Yeah, okay.
She took us to, had us come and visit several meetings. And then I believe it was the Missouri Council for the Blind once a year would do a party for all the visually impaired children in Springfield.
Uh-huh.
And they, even though we lived outside of Springfield since Carrie went to school in Springfield and everything, they always include her.
Uh-huh. And which school was that you attended, Carrie, there in Springfield?
I attended Cherokee Elementary,
uh-huh.
And then for 6th and 7th grade, I attended Pershing Middle School.
Oh, all right. Okay, yeah. Well, when we lived in Springfield, I attended Jarrett, and my sister, she was older than me, she attended Parkview. And I can't remember the school, but my young, my younger sister, I can't remember the one that she attended, but we lived up there for a little over a year. We weren't up there very long, and I loved it up there, but and then the family decided to move back down to Joplin, because that's where a lot of my mama's side of the family lived. And, well, at one time, my dad's family did too, but they all moved out to California. But my mama's side of the family, they remained here in Joplin. And I remember we would make trips back and forth, mainly on the weekends, of course, because my dad worked at Pittsburgh Plate Glass there in Springfield. And we always loved coming back to Joplin just for a weekend. And then, of course, going back to Springfield, get ready to go back to school for the week and all that. So, but anyway, so you kind of got a little bit involved to the Missouri Council of the Blind. Lynn, do you remember the days? Because I know Phyllis was a member of the Springfield Service Club. And one of the things that characterized Phyllis, because she started this, and it was always really great, is, and I think it was, and I can't remember if it was during the summer months that we would have a white cane walk there at one of the parks there in Springfield. And she would invite the West Plains group, the Joplin group, Lake Stockton group. And it was really great. I always enjoyed going up there for the white cane walk. Do you ever remember any of those kind of things?
I remember talking about them. I don't know that we ever attended one.
Okay. All right. And I also remember, too, those Lake Stockton days when they would have their auction. Eugene Doty was a big part of it. And I loved Eugene Doty. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember her at all, Lynn. But she was just a wonderful, wonderful person, and used to go up to their auction. And again, they would have folks from West Plains and Joplin and Springfield Service Club. So it was all really, really great. Those were the good old days. So, So do you have very many fond memories of days gone by when you first got introduced to MCB, Lynn?
Oh, yes. And I met several very nice people through it. We always enjoyed going and visiting with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Carrie was little, but she had a, before she could hardly talk, if she could smell somebody that had coffee, she would be reaching for them. She'd want them to hold her so she could be close to that coffee.
They
always got a kick out of that.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, this is a tell-all here on Meet the People of MCB. What kind of stories can you share? And I'm sure there are many fun stories or sad stories that you would like to share with us about Carrie growing up.
Oh, gosh, there's so many. Carrie loves water. This is one she might beat me up for telling. She absolutely loved the water. And I finally had to get something where you put something down on the toilet. So she would go back there and she would take off everything but her underwear and she'd crawl in the toilet to play in the water.
Oh,
so you always had to make sure you had a clean toilet.
Yes.
How embarrassing. Why did you have to tell that story?
Oh my goodness. So, Lynn, tell us.
Yeah, that's just the way it is with little ones, because my kids, too, they want to stick their hands in there and play in there.
Yeah.
He crawled in there and sit down.
So, Lynn, how was it for Carrie? Did she also, you know, like get involved in going to Halloween parties and like on the 4th of July want to play with the firecrackers and all those different kind of things?
A friend of mine, we were going to take some kids up to Firefall when they had that back here in Springfield. And we ended up, we had some car trouble and we never did make it clear to Firefall, but we made it out on the highway and turned on the radio and listened. And the bigger kids were scared to death of all the firecrackers going off and different things. Carrie just smiled. She loved it. She'd laugh. She'd smile. She just absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
She always dressed up and went with her cousins trick-or-treating.
Okay, very good, yeah.
She'd get into Christmas. She loved Christmas. She'd go over.
Yeah.
She was so gentle with peeling everything. Mm-hmm. Everybody was afraid she'd tear up all the the packages under the tree, but she was so gentle looking at everything.
Yeah.
Because she was just used to that's how she looked.
Yeah.
And, back in church, they used to have acolytes that lit the candles. Well, a friend of mine had two girls that was just a little bit older than Carrie, but the three of them would always light the candles together. They always included her.
Yeah. Well, I have two more questions, then I'm going to push it back over to Bev. So, Carrie, do you want to get back at Mom with her story? Do you have a favorite story about Mom?
No, I'm good.
Well, I guess Mama raised you right then, I guess. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
She knows who her rides are.
I know who's taking her places. I better be good.
Yeah. Well, my other question I was going to quickly ask them before pushing it over to Bev. So, Carrie, what kind of things have you done since being a member? Now, Lake Stockton just recently changed their name to Tri-County. I don't know if you knew that, Bev, but they just recently changed the name. So what kind of things?
Tri-Lakes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tri-Lakes,
mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So what kind of things have you done, being involved with Tri-Lakes? What kind of activities or have you... Go ahead.
I started a book club with them.
Oh, awesome.
That I would like to get other people involved with.
Uh-huh.
Today we went to a festival here in Bolivar. It's called Country A's, and they set up a booth there, and I went up there for a little while this morning and helped them out.
Oh,
with
good.
That, to raise money for everybody to go to convention in the chapter.
Yeah.
Roger Jewell.
Uh-huh.
Hope he doesn't mind me throwing his name out there.
Uh-huh.
He orchestrated that he wants everybody in the chapter in the whole club to go to convention this year.
Yeah, that would be
so
awesome.
So they're trying to raise some money for that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Love to have everybody. Sure. All right, Bev, it's yours.
That's great. I love to hear this, the activity and the other affiliates too. But I want to go back a little bit to your love of animals, except the chickens, with horses. Did you ever ride therapeutic horsemanship?
No. No, I never did that.
Did you ride at all?
She rode horses that we had at the farm.
Okay, so Western or English?
Western, and then we had one horse that would pull a cart.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That was fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I used to ride English, and I just loved the feel of the horse, the muscles, and the control you can have with the horses just with your own body. So I've got that. We've got some things in common, except our age, I'm sure. But but I want to know, I really would like to reach out to the younger people to get members involved with Missouri Council. What are we not doing that you think would be that we should be doing to attract younger members?
I don't know, because Carrie's invited several of her friends to come. They're in Springfield, of course, or to start one in Springfield, and she's having trouble getting any of them to show any interest, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's, and it's not just with Missouri Council. I see it everywhere, of trying to get younger people involved in activities or some kind of community outreach organizations. So I would love to see both of you come to our summer camp program,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
is down on the Merrimack River and you can go floating on the river, play activities, do bingo. I know bingo sounds like an old people thing, but you ought to hear the kids
in
like there.
Bingo.
They get all excited,
I
too.
I like bingo.
All right. Good for you. Good for you. And talent night. Okay. Bring
you
your
go.
Saxophone.
Yeah.
I think it's been put up a little bit too long. but we did talk about trying to go this past year, but I've been sick, so I'm just kind of getting over everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't really able to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give you a goal for next year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that will be great. And I can't wait to meet both of you.
So we're excited to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good, good,
mm-hmm.
good. The mm-hmm. time will go by fast, won't it, Chip? Especially
it will.
For
oh,
you,
yeah.
Chip.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 You bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's
we'll
so much to do
time
there,
to find you.
Mm-hmm.
There is. So let's see. What other question? I want to just make sure we get you involved and doing things that you want to do and that you feel comfortable with too. So, and you've got a great affiliate there with Roger. And I don't know some the older people, if they're still around. What are some of the names of the older people that's still in that group?
Well, I know Beverly Robertson
Robertson.
Uh-huh. He is a,
oh,
what's
good.
His name?
Yeah.
She's president.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's actually riding up with us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she came
good.
Over and picked up Terry. She came over and picked up Terry to go to the meeting this morning because I had to work, or to the country days this morning because I had to work. And she's going to ride up to Kansas City with us.
Mm-hmm. And didn't Linda Dawes pass away maybe a year or two ago?
Oh, Linda.
Yes,
okay.
I believe so. I believe
mm-hmm.
in February or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ron White, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Wyatt.
Mm-hmm. White. Mm-hmm. Wyatt. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. He's in our club.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he was in Springfield, one of their affiliates. And now Lake Stockton. Well, I got to stop calling it Lake Stockton now.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, Tri Lakes.
It'll confuse me for a while, too, because I'm like, what?
Yeah, but we're so glad that it's still going strong. And if there's anything ever that we can do to help, we're here. And that's what I love about Missouri Council, too. We just rally around and help each other out and I do a peer support call the third Monday of every month. So I'd love to have you come join us sometime too.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on the Missouri L or chat list?
No, I'm not.
Ooh, we got to get you on there and
mm-hmm.
you can
mm-hmm.
Learn a lot of things
mm-hmm.
that are going
yeah,
on
yeah, yeah,
through that.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I'm done. Unless you want to interview us now, Carrie, I don't care.
Well, let me ask you, Carrie, what kind of technology do you use that helps you enhance your independence?
Good question.
I have an iPhone.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I have an Apple Watch.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I have the Apple Watch.
Uh-huh.
I have the new e-reader from...
Yes, yeah.
The mm-hmm. NLS reader uh-huh, from
uh-huh.
Wolfener.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I just got a computer from Computers for the Blind.
Uh-huh.
But I got to get them to send me another charger because they sent me the wrong one.
Good. Mm-hmm. And it has JAWS on that computer?
So hopefully I can get that going.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, I want to go back. I love listening to you and your mom, because I know some parents want to overshadow their mm-hmm. child, especially if they're blind or visually impaired, and always correcting them. Oh, don't touch that, or, always trying to protect them. And I understand that. I get that. But you, Carrie, I mean, listening to you today and the things that you've been involved in, I love hearing you talk about starting the book club and, you know, you're out with the horses and all that. Now, did I hear you say also the mini horses?
Yes, we had mini horses, and one of the mini horses, some of the Amish that lived down near Seymour, where we lived, trained our mini horse to pull a cart, and I got to drive that mini horse cart with somebody sided with me in a parade. And
that's great. That's
wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, how cool is that?
Yeah. Well,
Mom, Carrie, you got some pictures?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Video.
There used to be a picture, but I was also in the parade lead when the had a baby.
Yeah.
So I led the baby.
Well, Lynn and Carrie, I don't know if you realize it, but, you know, they actually train mini horses to be a sighted animal guide for those that are blind and visually impaired.
I have read that.
Yeah, and they actually put tennis shoes on the horses and maybe tie something like a Walmart bag underneath their tail. Bev, I don't know if you remember the first time, I think one of them came to one of our ACB national
ACB
conferences. Yes.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting.
But
yeah.
I thought I heard, too, they're not doing that as much anymore.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about
they?
It for a while. No, I really haven't heard anything about it for a while. But I bring that up again because...
I'm trying to think, but I haven't either.
Yeah. Well, I bring that up because, as you were asking Carrie, what kind of things could we do that would attract some of the younger generation? And doing the kind of things that Carrie's been doing, especially like with the horses and other kind of things, or even like a book club, maybe getting that kind of started, you know, with some of we've got to introduce her to Cortland Sanders, Sarah Cocovizzo, you know, and some of the younger people, and, you know, maybe see what they would like to do. Yeah. I tell you, Carrie,
we need to know what their interests are to be able to provide it.
Sure. Yeah. I tell you, Carrie, I think you and Sarah and Cortland, those two girls, you guys would just really hit it off, and hopefully that you will meet them at convention time. So I think it will be really, really great. And I think you're going to have, you and Lynn too, will have a great time at convention. So we're just going to be so tickled to have you come and be a part of it all.
Well, we're sure looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time remaining. So, Lynn and Carrie, two things. First of all, especially you, Lynn, what kind of advice would you offer the parents for the very first time? And Bev, if you want to jump in here too, but that you can offer someone who is going to be raising a child with a vision impairment. Now, I know I say that asking Bev because it's just kind of the reverse. She is a mom who is blind and visually impaired and raised three wonderful daughters who are all sighted. But let me just ask you first, Lynn, what type of advice would you offer someone who's a mother for the very first time raising a child who is blind or visually impaired?
Treat them like you would any other child and expect the same thing out of them that you would any child.
Okay, very good advice. Very good. And Bev?
Well, can I jump in here that too? Lynn, my daughter was just here, and she's a kindergarten teacher there in Kansas City. And my granddaughter is 12 years old. Well, I could tell Suzanne had Ellie make the bed here that she used at my house. And I want to tell her, you need to work on teaching her how to make her bed, because you know, I did that and get those wrinkles out.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Can I tell you, Mom says that a lot.
Crazy.
Don't want no wrinkles in the bed.
Sorry, Carrie.
Yeah. So, Carrie, what That's kind fine. Of advice would That's you fine. Offer to someone growing up in a home? You're an only child with a visual impairment. Any advice that you would like to share?
Try to do everything that everybody else does. You know, if you mm-hmm. want to play in the band or play an instrument, do that, because it'll give you so much fulfillment in what you do in life. And you'll get to meet a lot of very nice people that you're in band or orchestra or choir mm-hmm. with.
Yeah, okay. Very good. I love it. I just love listening to her, Bev, because you can tell how active she's been. And I love it that you know, mom just didn't always keep her at home, you know, wasn't overly protective.
Yeah.
But yeah, let her get out in the world and experience things.
And both of them have such positive attitudes.
Yes, they do. You're right.
That.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So,
is
mom,
your head getting bigger now?
So, mom, was there any problems with Carrie and the boys or anything like that? Did the boys want to come and ask that she could have a date or anything?
Well,
go to high school prom?
It's probably one of the few girls that went to prom and had two dates.
Is that right?
Wow. Oh, my God. You go, Carrie.
One boy had asked her, and she had said yes, and they found another boy in their class that wasn't going to go because he didn't have a date. So they decided the three of them would go together.
Yeah.
And so Carrie had two dates to the prom.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Great. Yeah. So, Carrie, what kind of music do you like to listen to?
All kinds. Mm-hmm. I like anything from gospel to Whitney Houston to Mariah Carey to a lot of different music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Do you like Adele?
I love Adele. Yes, I
Me
like
too.
Adele too.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, that's great. Well, Lynn and Carrie, just love having both of you on today for Meet the People of MCB. You've been just such a delight to interview. We've had a lot of fun here today. And I'm just so looking forward to getting to know the both of you much more. And that's what this podcast is really all about, is getting to know the members of MCB close and up front. We've learned a lot about mm-hmm. both Lynn and Carrie today, and it's just really been wonderful. Wouldn't you agree, Bev?
Absolutely. And I'm going to let the members of St. Charles Council know, make sure you listen to this podcast.
Uh-huh,
of course, we've got a very faithful listener that she listens to every one.
Yeah, I know.
I love it. I love it.
Uh-huh,
so
yeah.
We will spread the word.
Yep. Okay. Well, all right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden, or you can call me Bev at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy your week, everybody, and we'll catch you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.